this episode of The Commercial Break.
My baby cries like at 6 p.m. every day, but we have to wait a little bit before we feed her. So like inevitably we have to like, you know, soothe her, but she cried. And my mom's like, you're torturing the baby. Give her the food. And I'm like, no, we're not sleep training her. She's like, I didn't sleep train you at all. I just gave you what you needed. Because I was like, with mother, you know, and it's like a lot more intense. So it's, you know, we also have so much more research at the palm of our hand when it comes to so much of this.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Yeah, boy!
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Kristen.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. How the hell are you? Thanks for joining us on a TCB Infomercial Tuesday. As yet another repeat customer comes to The Commercial Break, and I could not be more excited to invite our friend Joanna Hausman.
I love her. I'm back so again. Happy she's back.
She's one of our first interviews. Do you remember this?
Yeah, I do, because Astrid was very excited about it.
Astrid turned us on to Joanna and her comedy online, and then it quickly devolved into a love affair about tequeños and cachapas and...
And
Venezuelan parties and birthday songs that last too long. And Disney. That's right. And Disney. Joanna had a show on Disney. It's still available on Disney Plus, I think. But now the big news is that Joanna has been writing and part of the creative team behind the return of Phineas and Ferb. That is the big news around Joanna. I think she's got other things in the works she may or may not be able to talk about. But my oldest just became infatuated with Phineas and Ferb over the last 6 months.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you how many of those episodes I've watched. And I got to be honest, I missed the Phineas and Ferb boat
the first time around.
Yeah. Because I was too old. But now I'm on it. And I'm like, Phineas and Ferb is pretty entertaining, actually.
I know.
My favorite episode.
My nephews have watched.
Oh, they do?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they like it?
Yeah, they love it.
My favorite episode is this one where they build a roller coaster through the entire city. And it's just like... It's the kind of imagination that adults and kids can get together and go, yeah, that would be fucking cool, man.
Yes.
Good for you, Phineas and Ferb. Do it. And now my kid wants to wonder, he wonders how we can build a roller coaster in the backyard. And I say, nope, I already have that pool. And that's enough. That's enough money spent on one yard for a lifetime. That fucking pool.
He's good at building things.
He is. He's always building something. Mm-hmm. He's going to be something. He's going to be a Disney Imagineer, an architect, something. He's got that bug.
Mm-hmm.
He
likes to create.
Yeah. He's not into any of the... I mean, we play baseball. The kids like when I throw a wiffle ball or a softball to him, a soft ball here to them in the house, and they hit it with a little plastic bat. We like to play soccer in the hallways. Sometimes we throw the football, but when it comes to building or puzzles or... You know, writing scripts for little YouTube videos that he thinks we're making, we're really, really not making. I'm not letting him on YouTube.
No, not yet.
No, but I'll tell you what, that children's programming is where it is at.
Yeah.
There are many children whose parents started YouTube channels around the kids.
They make a ton of money.
They're making millions and millions
of
dollars.
I know, it's crazy.
On the tube, on Roku, there's whole channels dedicated to some of these people. And there are YouTube videos, and they're presented like television shows.
Wow.
And there's thousands of these videos from multiple different creators. And I think to myself, I know I have that rule about not wanting my children to be a face on the internet or part of the internet for a long time. But could I break it
and maybe
ruin their lives forever?
It's tempting.
To make a million or a couple, you know, two just doing this. So I don't know. It is tempting. That is for sure. Also, speaking of children, Joanna is a new mom.
Yes.
So we'll talk to her all about that. This is yet another step in the direction of this podcast just becoming one where I talk about Venezuela the entire time. So just... sit back, just relax, enjoy the show, learn a little something. It's only taken me 30 years to learn about Venezuela. I'll get you up to speed quicker than that.
Good, a little tutorial.
Yeah, the reality is, like when we had Nacho on, when we talk about Venezuela, when we cut those clips up, sometimes on my own personal Instagram, I'll talk about observations that I have about Venezuelan culture.
Right.
Shit goes haywire. It goes haywire. The Venezuelans are loyal to a fault. They love to hear about their culture. It makes them so happy. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to bring the happiness. I really am. I'm a gringo.
Absolutely.
But I was born this way. Nothing I could do about it. I'm just a gringo. Nothing I could do about it. But Joanna is one of the more popular Venezuelan Americans. And so we're happy to have her back for a second time. Is this our second or our third time with Joanna?
It's the second.
I feel like we had a second time scheduled with her once.
And it got rescheduled.
Something happened. She had to go Phineas and Ferb it up or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, she's important. We're not, so... Sometimes you just got to take the good with the bad. Mm-hmm. All right. So Joanna Hausman, all the links in the show notes below to her social media. Of course, Phineas and Ferb available on Disney Plus. I think there is a new season coming out soon. We'll talk to her all about it when we get her on. So let's take a short break, Chrissy. And when we get back through the magic of telepodcasting, Joanna Hausman right here in studio on that TV with us. What do you think?
I think we should do it.
We'll be back.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now, I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
And Joanna Hausman, after a long time of denying our request to come back to the show,
she finally relented.
Yes, she
we
said,
broke
no,
her down.
I will not say no on one more email. I have decided I'm going to return to the commercial break. Joanna, it is so good to see you.
Yes,
again.
Welcome back.
Oh my God. Thank you guys for relentlessly
pursuing you know,
emailing me, pursuing me. I feel so wanted. And I feel like that's what I wanted at the end. I just wanted to see how much you wanted me.
Well, if it isn't clear, then, you know, listen, you're married. So this is the most wanted you're ever going to feel again, outside of your children.
Well, I do got to say, you know, I wanted to come here earlier, but there was something called the birth of my child. That I know. So
little thing.
Yeah. Of
little
all
thing.
The excuses we have heard. Yeah. Birth of child. Please. People do this at home in, you know, like pools, inflatable pools that they blow. It can't be that big of a deal.
Right? Both podcast and giving birth. Yes.
Yes. True story. Yes, first of all, absolutely. How are you feeling? You're months away from how old is the baby now? 2 months old? 3 months?
4 months.
4 months.
She's 4 months old. Yeah, she's old now. She's wise beyond her months. It's been good. I mean, I think that the media, and I don't know why I'm saying the media is this abstract concept, but like every time I log on to the internet, all I hear is how bad and hard motherhood is. And to be honest with you, when I was pregnant, I was like, I don't know if this is going to go well.
Yeah.
I hope I love her. And I've been so pleasantly surprised at how much joy there is and how I've enjoyed it. She is so cute. I mean, I also think she's a remarkable baby. I mean, I know I'm her mother or whatever, but I am being, you know, just very logical in saying I do think she's the cutest thing to have ever existed. And being a mom has been sort of like a new part to play.
A new project?
I'm not the most stereotypically motherly person, and it just came so naturally. I was like, what the hell is happening? Like, wow, biology is strong.
It is. Yeah. Would you not have considered yourself maternal before having a baby?
Not at all.
You don't like take care of your husband when he gets the flu. You don't like dote on people.
I'm like, why are you so sick? It's like, this is convenient for me.
You're such a bitch.
Like, I love taking care of people, but not in a motherly way. And like, I'm your equal type of way.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
I'm like, I'm your mommy. But with my baby, I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, it's wild how your brain gets rewired
in seconds.
It's seconds. It's like, it's, you know, this is why there's, what, 8 billion of us? How many are there?
Yeah, yeah, there's 8 billion. Probably 3 too many, 3 billions too many, but there's 8 of us hanging around. I felt the same way. I mean, fatherhood, motherhood, two totally different things, but there are some comparables, right? Some comparables. You're legally and financially responsible for their well-being. But I feel the same thing. I think I've always been good with children, and I felt like it was in me somewhere, but I never had any desire to be a parent until I met Astrid.
Yeah.
And then the second that that child came out of the womb, my brain was rewired, and there's nothing else. There's nothing mm-hmm. else in the heavens. It's like, that's it. It's her and him and my first child, and then we're going to go for it. By the, like, 16th child, you know, it's almost, it's just second nature. You just yeah. become used to it. And you're 4 months in. I'm dealing with 4 years in, and that's a whole different animal. But I love how you're describing this. It's just pure joy. It really is. And there is a lot of difficulties in parenting. But I think overall, the pluses outweigh the minuses, sure. and I wouldn't take it back. And that's good for my children.
Wait until
that's good for my children. Yeah,
and
wait until they're teenagers.
Let's talk again.
You don't resent your children. What a blessing. Yet. Yeah, no. And it's interesting because, like, when I found out I was pregnant, I was like, oh, I'm in. Like,
yeah.
I don't have, like, my husband was like, I guess I got 9 months to think about this. And I'm like, oh no. The next day I feel like trash. And
yeah.
I feel like I can barely exist. Yeah. And I feel like being a mom is like being hazed into parenthood.
Yeah.
For 9 months, no cuteness, there's no baby. Your body's just going through a full body demolition.
Yeah. yeah.
And it's like, you think you want to be a parent, bitch, you know? But I'm glad that you felt rewired immediately, because I think as a mom I was rewired immediately, because it was like going through the most difficult hike of your life, and then you finally get to the top,
yeah.
and you're like, okay, maybe it was worth it, this 9 hour hike. This is a beautiful view, you know. So it's been a crazy experience. For sure. It's kind of bizarre that the dumbest people in my high school are also parents.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, we've been saying this for years. Yeah.
That's sort of like been a relief
yeah.
in this process.
Yeah. I'm like, if they can do it.
Can I do this? Can I do this? And I'm like, Brittany is doing it. So relax.
With an eye.
Yeah, Brittany with an eye.
Yeah. yeah.
Former dancer, former shoe model, Brittany can do it, then I can do it. I agree with you. I've been saying it for years. I will always probably believe this to some degree, that you need a license to get on a fucking canoe and catch a fish in your local pond, but you need zero training to be a parent. There are zero qualifications to having a child, and there are...
It shows.
It shows. It shows. There are some people where you're like, holy shit, I can't believe you're a parent. I know some people. I have friends that I'm questioning yes. whether or not they should be parents, but they're already, once they're there, they're there. What are you going to do? Put them back in? I mean, so it's kind of like, you can't do anything about it. How has work been going? Because I have been dying to talk to you about Phineas and Ferb, which has quickly run up the charts in my household over the last couple of months. And I don't know how or why. I mean, Phineas and Ferb, how long has Phineas and Ferb been off?
So it's Phineas and Ferb was off for like a decade.
Yeah.
And it just recently came back this year.
Yeah.
And Phineas and Ferb, you know, when it came out, I was like in college. So I was in that weird age that I wasn't a parent and I wasn't a kid. So I had no idea what it was about.
Right.
Yeah.
Until later on in life when I started learning that Phineas and Ferb did sort of the impossible, which was it was technically a kid's show, but 50% of its viewership was adult.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Because the writer's room treats it as a true co-viewing show, meaning, yeah, there's going to be crazy fun action sequences and this, that, and the other. But the humor on the page is for intelligent audiences.
Uh-huh. Yes.
And treating your audience as the most intelligent person in the room. And because of that, it's been like a multi-generational hit, which is unique.
Yeah.
Especially unique now with streaming, where I think I think now shows are so specific to a particular audience that you see a fragmented viewership in the same household. You have kids watching one thing, your wife watching another thing, the dad watching another thing, you know. And this show, it sort of feels like everyone in the family actually enjoys watching it.
I love working on it
has been crazy. It's been such an honor, honestly. Yeah.
There are two shows in my house. When the kids put them on, I don't mind watching an episode. I also was way, I was at least I thought, aged out of Phineas and Ferb. So it wasn't something that I ever, it ever took hold and root in my mind. I knew of it. I knew about it. Probably seen a couple minutes of an episode. But when my oldest started watching Phineas and Ferb, the other two quickly jumped on board.
And then I
was like, oh, I can watch this cartoon too, just as I can Bluey. So Bluey and Phineas and Ferb, those two shows, I don't mind watching an episode because I get it and it's funny. And in some to some degree, those jokes are for me, right? The comedy is for me. And my kids think it's funny for one reason, but I think it's funny for another.
I think Big City Greens for me,
Big City Greens is another one, too.
Yeah. Oh, I love Big City Greens.
Yeah, it is good. It is good.
It's such a good show.
Yeah.
It is good. So how did you get involved with Phineas and Ferb? I mean, we knew you were in the Disney family,
universe,
so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Still waiting on that free trip to Disney World. But I knew you were in you promised. Hey, listen, I know you have the. I know you have Bob's phone number. And so when you get a chance.
I love Mr. Iger, my buddy.
Have you ever met Mr. Iger?
I think like in passing, very briefly.
In passing?
It was like, oh, that's Bob. And I'm like, hello, hello. And then he was just gone.
Yeah. He didn't have time. Yeah, he didn't have time for you. So how did you get involved with Phineas and Ferb?
Dude, it's kind of wild how being Venezuelan is the reason.
I love this.
It's the reason I'm on this podcast.
Yes.
Isn't it funny being part of a like collapsed petro state actually helps you in the entertainment industry? Yes. The co-creator of Phineas and Ferb, Dan Poffenmeyer, was married to a Venezuelan for many, many years. She's the mother of his children. They're still very close, even though they are divorced. But she, you know, as a Venezuelan, would show him my videos as a way to connect. Like, oh, remember when we went to this party and you asked me about this Venezuelan tradition and he'd watch it. And about, I don't know how many years ago, I think it was actually 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I get a message. I think it was on YouTube. And it was like, hey, my name is Dan. And I created this show called Phineas and Ferb. My wife is Venezuelan, and we'd love to have you over for arepas one day when you're in L.A. And I'm And I was like, this is so weird. So I, like, reached out, and we talked. And then I had a trip to L.A. the next week.
Oh,
and perfect. I texted him, and I was like, you know, I'm going to go to Pasadena to meet you and your family. And I'm in the Uber, and I'm telling the Uber driver this story. And the Uber driver's like, I'm sorry. You're going to a random man's house who claims he's this famous showrunner.
Right.
You have absolutely no proof, and I'm dropping you off there. And I'm like, yeah, that's happening. And he was like, I am not letting you go in there by yourself. So he like waited for me, actually.
Oh, wow.
So Dan opened
how
the door.
Nice.
And I saw the two
stars.
Girls running around. Yeah. And I gave him 5 stars and a pretty good tip.
Yeah.
So that's how this started. And that sort of began a friendship between me and Dan, and Dan also has been sort of like a guiding light for me in my career, where anytime I had questions or you know, concerns, or I had a new pilot or I had this, I always like felt like I could ask him for advice. And then, you know, years later, I was able to join this writer's room. And it's been one of my favorite, I think, professional experiences ever.
That is
amazing. It is part of the reason why you're here. So it's part of the reason why we connected, right? Because my wife showed me your videos, right? And I was like, oh, that's
so
interesting.
Funny.
She's funny. She should come on. And I was just, I just had a chance to sit down and have some time with Nacho Red from Escuela de Nada. And
of course,
we had a very long conversation. And the reason why he's on the show is because my brother-in-law introduced me to EDN, right? So, and there is no...
There's a whole network.
Yeah. There's no interactions. There's no level of engagement that we get, like, when we talk about Venezuela. It is crazy how the Venezuelans are so loyal and willing to cheer anybody on who's willing to cheer them on. And
100%. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It gives me the warm and fuzzies in a way that it's hard to describe because I feel like an honorary Venezuelan, first of all. Even if you don't want me, I'm here. And I'm the gringo Venezuelan. Yeah. And it is kind of crazy how these disparate people, displaced people all around the world have embedded themselves in these industries and these communities and these places. And now they're all connected by some tissue. Mm-hmm. And look at you, Phineas and Ferb, not maybe because you're Venezuelan, probably also because you're funny and, you know, all the other stuff, but originally started because you're making content about Venezuela that's relatable to some people across the pond.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I remember a while ago, I was going through this like existential crisis where, you know, once again, it was like we lost another election in Venezuela. Yeah. And by lost, I mean, like, obviously it was stolen from us. And it was this like feeling of deep sadness. And I remember my dad telling me, like, you know, yes, of course, there's so much tragedy. But within all this tragedy, there's this diaspora and there's positive externalities to diasporas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know what the fuck you just said.
What is a diaspora?
And it was like, and it was like, no, because, you know, when a big migration of people leave a country, they affect the world. You see their food around the world. You see their humor around the world. You see them acting in movies in different countries. Their culture starts permeating outside of the country. And you see it in, like, cultures from the past. You know, the Irish after the potato famine.
Yeah.
You
had
the Italians in the 20th century. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all of these big cultural movements that sort of globalized certain cultures came with a lot of sadness and tragedy attached to it. And, you know, that's like the bit of the positive I see in seeing so many Venezuelans away from their home country is we've created an identity outside of the geographical constraints.
Mm-hmm.
And we're affecting culture outside of our country. And that's kind of cool.
That's very beautifully stated. And I agree with you. And as someone who's married to a Venezuelan and, you know, my best friend is just being in the community, it is cool to see, because emigrating has got to be the like one of the most, besides parenthood, has got to be the second most difficult thing that a human being can do. And I've seen it firsthand.
Well, kind of forced.
Leave everything that you know, right? You leave everything that you know, and you have to start off from scratch in a new place where you don't know people, you don't have connections, you know, you're lonely, you're tired.
Maybe don't speak the language.
Maybe don't speak the language. Yeah. That's right. And so it's got to be one of the most difficult things that you can do to sort of rise up, to meet the challenge, and then to rise above that and affect the people around you, the communities around you. It's a beautiful thing. And Venezuela, as I will attest to the day that I die, is a beautiful, they're such beautiful people in general, company not excluded here, because you are definitely one of my favorites. So let me ask you this. So you did lose another election or stole another election or whatever. And then this lady wins the Nobel Peace Prize, and then hands it to Trump. And I think I understand she's playing the game here. Mm-hmm. I think I understand she's playing a game a little bit. I get it. I understand. I understand that this is probably not all is on the surface as it seems. But did you feel a sense of pride that they gave her the Nobel Peace Prize?
I mean, of course, we have not received any good news in so long. Mm. And that felt like, wow, our struggle that usually feels separate from general conversation. Venezuela almost feels like a niche country. Like, wait, what? Yeah. Venezuela? That sounds beautiful. Like, you know, they don't understand. Like, and understandably so. It's not on the front of everyone's mind. Yeah. But it felt like we were a global topic.
Yeah.
And it felt like our struggle and our pain was a global topic. And I was so happy to see María Corina Machado and she's the one person peacefully trying to enact change in a dictatorship. And, you know, I got a lot of messages from my American friends being like, what the fuck? Like, this woman shouldn't have done this. Like, this is ridiculous. And I'm like, listen, I don't have the privilege of getting picky here.
Right. I agree with you.
I'd love to have the privilege.
Yeah.
I'd love that. I'd love to be like, I don't like that she said this one thing one time. I don't have that privilege. She's our one and only hope. And I know she's strategic and she's playing.
She's being strategic.
A long game.
Yeah.
And what, and I know that she's like, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to make sure that this dictatorship topples and we're able to have democracy and freedom in this country. And I don't care what she does in order to make that happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, you know, anytime a friend would be like, wow, isn't that just so, you must be so upset. I'm like, girl.
There are so many other things to be upset about. Than what she,
I think I'm upset with the fact that my family lost their country and basically, you know, scattered across the world. So many of my cousins and aunts and uncles have to start from scratch and and are still struggling. And that's what I, that's what who I'm thinking of when these things, it's real life for me. It's not ideology and it's not, you know, parsing through what is morally right and morally wrong in every aspect. I don't have the time and I don't have the bandwidth. I'm like, this is our one hope.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That's so true.
So let's see what happens.
I agree with you. Mm-hmm. And I think you're, I think this is like, if I may, I think it's right-headed thinking that you have, because there are so many other things to be concerned about. And I think she is, there's a reason why she got the Nobel Peace Prize. There's a reason why she probably won an election. There's a reason why so many people are looking to her. She has a head on her shoulders and she understands globally that she needs to play whatever game she needs to play to make sure that things at home get fixed. And she's still living in the fucking country too. So, you know, that's like the most insane thing is she's not like, you know, living a high on the hog in Aruba or something. She's still living in Venezuela. And
she's
just
in hiding. Because if they find her, she's in prison.
She's in prison.
And she's doing all of this with no calls for bloodshed. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This woman has perfectly crafted a peaceful revolution. She was able to build with her team the technological necessities to be able to count the votes in the last election and prove that democratically the opposition won. She did everything right. She's doing everything for our country. She's doing everything right.
Yeah.
And if she doesn't fit in your global politics for X, Y, and Z reason, great.
But it doesn't matter. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to
Venezuelans. It doesn't matter it doesn't matter to Venezuelans. Venezuelans just want their country back. They want to be able to go back home. They want to be able to live in peace and freedom and not have, you know, a dictatorship censoring them and imprisoning them and killing them. So that's the priority for us, baby.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you don't get it, step back is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, I said to many friends, actually. I was like, girl,
Let her do her thing.
Let her do her thing. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people's lives at stake.
Yeah.
You are Venezuelan. So has your larger community now rushed in to co-parent your child with you?
That's hilarious. Absolutely.
Yeah.
My mom is arriving on Friday.
Are you excited?
By the way, I'm excited. It's interesting because there's a lot of like cultural differences I note from Venezuelans to honestly where I've lived most of my life, which is the United States. And you know, in the States, it's like you study, you know, you grow up in one city, maybe you go to college in another city, and then you move to another city for work. That's sort of like a natural progression, right?
Yes.
In Venezuela, you like live at home with your parents until you get married, you know?
Or then, until your children get married. Yeah, until they have grandchildren.
Yeah.
And so there's this like multi-generational raising of children, right? And it's like the grandparents are involved. The cousin that's not really your cousin is involved. Like everyone, it's this big... While here, you know, I moved to LA for a career. I'm following the American path of the American dream, which is like, I'm in a city. I started from scratch in the city. I don't know anything about this city. I actually low key don't love it, but I'm here because it's the right place for me, for my career. And, but I'm alone here. I don't have any family. So it's like weird because, you know, my family's proud of me, but my family, you know, my mom will be like, oh, yeah, you must be so alone there with the baby. You don't have me next to you to take care of her or whatever, whenever you want. I'm so hard for you. And I'm like, yeah, no, it's hard, Mom, I for sure. And she's like, ay, pero que, you know what I would love?
Pero que.
Just call me and be like, take care of the baby. And I go, it's free. I'm a free nanny. And I'm like, Mom, I don't know what to tell you. I live in L.A. So, you know, it's been interesting, and it's been.
And where is she?
Very much. She's in Boston.
Okay.
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 Which is funny that that woman lives in Boston,
right?
I don't know. Like, and she spends a lot of time in the Berkshires, which is like the like it's like the most preppy kind of slightly uptight. East Coast.
Oh, it's erudite. You know, yeah, it's erudite.
Yeah. And everyone in the Berkshires loves my mom. Like, goes into the library and they're like, "Oh my God, Anna, you're here!" And she's like, "I'm back in the library, baby."
I love this, picturing her in the Berkshires.
She knows everyone. She knows everyone in every market. But you know, the point is that it's like there's community. Sort of like Latin culture is very much about community, mm-hmm. and we've. My mom has built community everywhere she's gone as a way to like sort of mimic what she has back home. And, you know, here I would love to have a bigger community to raise my kid, and I'm building it through friendships and all this stuff. But man, do you know how much I'd love to have like my 75 family members like riding distance from me?
Yeah, that would be nice.
I have 17 kids. I'd be like, yeah, that's fine. You take this one.
right.
There is nothing I love more than when
Astrid's parents
come to the house, because they are so good with my children. I believe they are the second parents mm-hmm. of my children. Mm-hmm. Like, God forbid, you know, fiery plane crash, the whole nine yards. I want them, not my parents, because first of all, my parents are a little bit older, but they're Irish Catholic, and it's like check in, check out, punch in, punch out.
Oh, interesting.
My brothers live within a 20-mile radius of here. It's really, honestly, it's like a magic trick to get them to show up for more than 15 minutes to my house, because mm-hmm. it's just the Irish Catholic way.
Yeah.
It's not because they're bad people. It's because they have no fucking clue. They don't, what? We're supposed to do what? Be uncle? You know, it's like, it's just something that doesn't come natural to them.
However, is it because Irish Catholics have like 17 kids each and they're like, I don't have time for cousins?
Yeah, I honestly.
But I don't know the Catholic thing, because I grew up in an Italian family. And
Catholics are different than Irish.
My grandparents were my second parents. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe it's just my family. Maybe my family just are child haters. They just hate children. I don't know. None of them have kids either. So that's another thing is when you don't have children, you don't know how to parent. You don't know like how to parent default. Like, I walk into a household and there's other children in the room. I am now another parent in the room.
Yeah.
So I know I know how to, and I'm not afraid to also be the another parent in the room. Hey, don't do that, Billy. Who are you? No. Fuck you, Billy. Sit down.
Yes.
Stop setting shit on fire. Yeah. Stop biting the cat, right? Because I'm a parent, and I forever will be. My brothers, they don't know that. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, in a Venezuelan community, everyone's parenting everybody, so it kind of comes natural. But in my family, we're all very isolated, and so when they come into a room, they don't know. They're not parenting my kids. They're like, maybe they'll throw them across the room or, you know, give them a sip of whiskey. But besides that, it's not, you know, it's a little weird. When my in-laws come, I fucking love it.
Oh, yeah.
Besides the fact—
And Gustavo,
yeah. My brother-in-law, mm-hmm. he's another parent. He just walks in. He doesn't have kids, but he knows it.
Also, he's 7 foot tall.
Yeah, he's 7 foot tall, so he's scary. Wow. Yeah. I love it when they come, and it's just like such a good, they have a good mm-hmm. time. The kids are always laughing and joking. I have another set of eyeballs in the room. And besides hearing, from my father-in-law a lot, and he mumbles under his breath about me, besides that, I think everything's good. So you need your mom to come. Is she staying for a long mm-hmm. period of time? Are you going to allow her to be here for many, many months?
Yeah. I mean, I did tell her she can't stay in my house because we just don't have the space. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when she has her space, I think it's the perfect mix. I'm like curious to see, because I don't know what happens with grandparents. I think grandparents have the privilege of perspective of knowing that what you stress over isn't necessary. And like, truthfully, the most probable thing is that your kid's going to be fine.
Yes. Yeah.
But when you're in it, you don't know that.
Yes.
Right.
So, yes.
You know, my baby cries like at 6 p.m. every day, but we have to wait a little bit before we feed her. So like inevitably we have to like, you know, soothe her, but she cried. And my mom's like, you're torturing the baby. Give her the food. And I'm like, no, she's like, I didn't sleep train you at all. I just gave you what you needed because I was up with mother. You know, and it's like a lot more intense. So it's, you know, we also have so much more research at the palm of our hand when it comes to so much of this. Mm-hmm. And I think, I don't know, my parents like winged it. My mom was like, what are you reading? Like, what's all this reading you're doing? These books? And she was like, you were born and I just figured it out.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's this like generational divide with information.
Yes.
Which is interesting. And like, I think that will probably battle it out. You know, who knows if there'll be survivors, but we'll try.
You'll be okay. You guys will figure it out. There is this need, I think. I have always said that one of the great joys of my life is watching my father, mm-hmm. grandparent, my children, because I think he has the benefit of hindsight, and he understands.
Yeah.
Maybe I always didn't get it right with my own kids, so I'm not going to miss.
He's retired. He's less
stressed.
Yeah,
he's less stressed. Yeah, he doesn't, and he's not financially responsible for them. And I'm not, you know, smoking weed in the backyard. You know, the grandkids haven't gotten to smoking weed yet, so it's like. But I feel like it's one of the great joys of my life is getting to watch my dad be a grandparent to my children. It's a beautiful thing to me, especially when I see them connecting. And, you know, yeah, they're not my dad's not spending days on end at my house taking care of the kids. But when it does happen, when they do get to connect, I think it's really beautiful. But I also understand he raised children in a totally different universe than I'm raising children. You're right. We have too much information on our. How many times have you called your pediatrician?
You know, I a lot, but
yeah, me too.
I decided to do something during my pregnancy, which was like, I was like, I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Like people would be like, are you like doing the birthing classes? And I was like, I did one birthing class and I was like, I don't want to know more.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to know more. We used to do this in a cave.
Yeah.
And I think that there was some wisdom to that where you're just like blindly going into something. Because it's like you're about to jump from a bungee jump whatever cord mm-hmm. thing, and they're like over explaining gravity to you,
right?
And it's like I know generally what's going to happen, and I'd rather just not overthink it.
Yeah.
And so which is very unlike my character. I'm very neurotic and very anxious, and with this whole process, I've been sort of like. My husband's the one that's reading all the books about sleep training and all this stuff. And I'm just sort of like, I'm gonna listen to him, but I'm also just sort of like, I don't know.
It'll work out.
Yeah.
It'll work out. Mm. As I've said before, there's so many of us on this earth. Yeah. So, you know, I think we're more resilient.
Our parents.
Than we get. Yeah.
Threw us in a crib and said, figure it the fuck out. They didn't say figure it the fuck out to any other adults in the room. They said figure it out to the 9-month-old. They said figure it the fuck out and keep it quiet in here so I can get some sleep. And look how I turned out. Just fine. I can't sleep for shit. And I have a bad anxiety problem. But besides that, I'm okay. But I mean,
oh my God, yes. I do think our anxiety problem, you know, I my dad told me, he had the audacity of being like, you know, I think I know where your anxiety comes from. And I'm like, yeah, what do you think, Dad? Maybe growing up in
Venezuela,
where we were moving all the time, where the coup d'etat was coming, where there was instability everywhere, where you and Mom were fighting over politics all the time. What do you think? He's like, no, I think it's because you had colics the first 3 months of your life, and it rewired your brain in a crazy way like that. And I'm like, pretty sure that's not the case, but maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you never know. It could be. Could be, Dad. That's the thing, is you never do know.
You don't.
No, you never do know what what's going to manifest further down the line. And, you know, listen, I've always thought about parenting this way is, and I don't always, I wish that I could listen to my own words sometimes, but I try, is that they're already cooked. They're already fully baked. The personalities are in there. Their destinies in there. Their abilities or not abilities, you know, the things they could do well or not well, is already in there. All I have to do is just make sure that they don't, you know, set themselves on fire or drive the car through the front door. And if I can do that and generally get them through okay, then that everything, you know, I'll have done my job. I read
love and support,
you know? Love, support. Love.
If you just shower them with love, mm-hmm. I mean, I know that you have to like be a bit.
Yeah, you got
to
be a disciplined.
Yeah.
But the love element is so important. It's like they just have to feel special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you know?
That's how you cook them.
And that you're the biggest fan.
That's how you cook
them. That's how you cook them.
That's how you cook them. Bake them up.
It's like a tequeno. You put it in the fryer. You know, it's like you put it in the air fryer. Your love is the air fryer. You just put...
Your love is the air fryer. What a beautiful metaphor. Okay, if you clip this, Venezuelans are going to share it like crazy. It's like, oh my God, he compared the love of parents to tequeno. That is perfect. I feel seen.
Clip it. Kevin, clip it. I'm excited for you because also 4 months old, 4 to 1.5, the golden time. Now having some perspective, the golden time because they need everything. And that may seem that's good and bad some days, but they need everything from you. You're the only thing they care about. You're the entire world. They cannot yet get into cabinets or your alcohol by themselves. So you don't have to worry too much. And it's just a lovely time to bond with the child. How is your husband doing? Let's talk about him. How is he doing?
I think he was born as a dad.
That's good.
He came out of, have you seen those memes of like how I see my dad as a baby? And it's like a full grown man's face on a baby head, like a baby body. I feel like when my daughter says that, she's going to be right. this man was like programmed for parenthood and fatherhood. And so he's doing great.
Nice.
He is, you know, he's like a little bit OCD and he likes, you know, the ounces and the schedule and the timing. And he has like his little spreadsheets of information. So I feel like he's like built for it. And I do think that we subvert the stereotype when it comes to like when women talk about mental load and how they carry so much mental load in the house, how they have to be responsible for so many other things, not just taking care of the baby. Like the expectation is that a lot of this stuff is on them. And I feel bad when I hear these like podcasts and clips because I'm like, oh my God, I'm the problem. Like, of course, when it comes to taking care of the baby, I'm pretty good at it. But when it comes to like all the other like little minutia, like reordering the formula and like restocking the this. I'm so ADD. I'm like, I don't know. It happens magically.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I did all of that.
Yeah. That's great you have that.
Astrid's currently listening going, why can't you be anything like Joanna's husband?
You can't. But you know what I was thinking? If my husband was married to someone like him, they would
die.
There would be fights.
Like, why did you jump? You didn't do it.
Yeah. Right. You didn't order the right color. Like, you didn't do that right.
Yeah. You left it. But I told you I wanted this and some of that. And I'm just like, whatever you want, man, I'm good.
Yeah. That's me. That's me with Astrid. Yeah. I'm like you. Yeah. I play that role in the family too. I'm like, I don't worry because I know Astrid's worrying and two of us worrying isn't going to help the situation. So like, you know, Halloween's coming around, the baskets and the kids and the dresses and the Halloween costumes. What are we going to do and how are we going to do it? It's already handled. It shows up by Amazon and it's already handled and the kids are walking around with their costumes. And I'm like, oh, you're going to be R2-D2 this year. Cool, dude. Yeah. And meanwhile, Astrid's like, we've been talking about this for 6 weeks. And I was like, we did? Well, thanks. Thanks for that. It's just the way that I am. I don't want to die on a bunch of hills. Mm-hmm. So I let, and she is great at that stuff. That is her strong suit. She is fantastic. Left up to my own devices, those children would be loved and they would have so much fun, but they would be naked and hungry. And probably
hair
not,
tangled
not
and,
know how to read. Yeah. Dreadlocks.
Lord of the Flies.
We'd be growing up in a commune. Let me ask you this. You said you're not loving LA.
Well, listen.
Or is it like a double-edged sword?
It's a double-edged sword. Like maybe one of the reasons I don't love LA is how much I love New York. Mm. Like it's like trying to date someone wonderful new, but you're still in love with your ex.
Yeah.
It's
like my heart's somewhere else, and that's not LA's fault necessarily. LA is very different from New York. I always say that like New York is like someone who was born ugly and had to build a personality and a sense of style. Mm-hmm. And LA was born hot.
Beautiful.
LA's so hot. Yeah. It's beautiful, but then like the architecture's not great. Mm-hmm. It's not well thought out as a city. It's sort of a mess. But like, you know, the nature's spectacular.
Yeah.
So it's just getting used to something that's like vastly different while my heart's somewhere else. And it's just a quirky interest. It's also a city that's difficult to get to know. It's like an introvert.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's an introverted city. New York is an extrovert. New York's like, hey, I'm being a bitch.
Hey. Yeah. Yeah. Jump down, like, Central Park. Come on down. Eat some food. Yeah.
LA's like, hey, welcome. I don't know where I even am. Actually. Yeah. Just drive around aimlessly.
Right.
And
maybe you should call San Fernando Valley. Maybe they'll know. Yeah, thanks.
Maybe they'll.
Yeah,
but there's a lot of magical parts of LA, and it is a very interesting city. It just takes a lot of effort to get to know.
That's true.
So you know, I'm starting to have feelings for LA.
It's growing on you.
Okay, so Phineas and Ferb, you are now in the writer's room. Do you also have producer credits on Phineas and Ferb?
Not on Phineas and Ferb. I'm working on other stuff that I...
You'll tell us the day before, right?
Yeah. But let me tell you, being a staff writer, oh my God, how fun.
I bet. I can imagine. It's so fun.
It is so fun to show up and just be like, my job is to write and to make a joke funnier and to this, like, I love producing and I love that side of things, of course, but there's something really liberating of being like, oh, my job is actually limiting. It makes me be a little bit more creative.
Yeah.
So that's been fun. And, you know, producing other stuff on the side is like, oh, right. There's like other things have to happen for things to be on a screen that aren't just like, what if the goat is wearing a tutu? <You know?
laughs> Right. There's a freedom in that.
Yeah. We got to get a distribution deal and I got to get the color artist paid.
Budgets.
Oh God, this actor we cast isn't the right voice.
Yeah.
We cast. Oh my God. We already have the footage back from overseas, which means we have ADR everything. It's like there's so many elements and, you know, cartoons in particular, like live action, of course, but cartoons in particular, every millisecond takes so much effort.
Yeah.
It takes so many people, so many cooks in the kitchen. There's even people called timers. I don't even know what they do, but I think they time, okay? And the timers like time something. Like there's someone for every element. Like there's no background without someone painting it. There's no, you know, spoon without someone ideating what a spoon looks like in this world.
Yeah.
So it's so much creative input in such a short period of time.
Are you seeing anything to do with AI? Like, is that a thing? Do you see it being a thing down the road?
It's like a fear that's looming over us at all times.
Right.
Yeah.
Unknown. It's the unknown.
I mean, I'm also of the opinion that, you know, when every technological advance has happened, there's been fear and there has to be adjustment in society.
For sure.
We talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I just, and ultimately you become more efficient. I'm hoping and I'm hopeful that AI is going to help us make more things quicker, but I don't foresee the human element being something that we can take away from art.
Yeah.
And take away from podcasts like these. If someone's like, you know that there's a podcast that can be perfectly crafted for you with fake people, I'd be like, I don't want to listen to that.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the human experience if it's just crafted around me?
Right. Well, I also, I agree with you. And I think human creativity is the one thing. And if you talk to people, or if you listen to people who are in the world of AI, human creativity and some of our logic just may be a generation 2, 3, 4 away from being something you can replicate with any degree of like accuracy. It's our X factor. It's our umami. It's the thing that we have that makes us human. That unfortunately for people who want to think
flawed. Humans are flawed. Yeah. And that's also what makes us interesting.
Well, that's what
yeah.
That, yeah. And we have the ability to make certain types of thinking that we have is really hard to replicate because we don't even understand how it works. So therefore AI can't understand, not yet at least, can't understand how it works. You know,
when you see something and you know someone made it, it inherently affects the way that you perceive it.
That's
agreed.
True.
If
I am told that's, you connect. If I know that this is not made by a person, my brain automatically disengages. I'm not interested.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I see AI on social media, and it's, yes, it's getting better at looking real, but at least for right now, a lot of it is flagged, tagged, or people identify it as AI. I just don't have a lot of respect for it,
yeah.
right? And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, we use AI here at the show. It makes little songs for us, but I write all the lyrics. I just get it to play an instrument,
right?
And that's because I don't have a full band. I'm not Jimmy Kimmel. I can't just put a full mm-hmm. band in the back of my thing.
Yeah,
so
it's a tool.
It's a tool. It helps, right? It helps me be more creative. And if I look at it that way, I don't have any problem with mm-hmm. it. But is it going to replace me? I'm sure that you could make a show funnier than ours, better than ours for you with my voice through AI.
Yeah, you're right. It would be weird.
Why would you want to listen to that?
Yeah. Why would you want to listen to it? It's like, I want to be in a simulation.
Yeah.
Yes.
No. Exactly.
I'm already in a simulation. I don't want to be in another one. That's double secret probation, and that doesn't exist. Joanna, I love you so much. I know I know it's taken us a long time to get to number two, but I hope it doesn't take us a long time to get to number three, because I really enjoy talking to you.
It's so fun.
You were one of our favorites the first time. You haven't ruined that by coming on the second time, so... You know, sometimes
you've held your place.
You held your place.
I mean, I was like, do they really want me? Wow. Well, need them work for it. And now I got to prove I'm not a waste of time.
I'm like, well, will she be better than Nacho? We'll have to see. But I have to say, I still hold you close to my heart. So
you never forget your first.
Well, me and Nacho can. Yeah. I mean, I was first and Nacho and I, we can fight about it.
Yeah. You guys get in the comment section mm-hmm. and fight about it. Do you know Nacho? Do you listen to EDN?
I do. Yeah. I do know Nacho. I met him many, many, many years ago. And yeah, I've just followed his career. It's like one of those, it's like when you go to call or high school with someone and then you see them parallel succeed. And it's like, oh my God, I know that guy. Yeah. Like, I don't know him that well, but almost like living similar experiences, exiting the country and sort of finding your footing has been really wonderful to see.
Yeah,
he's done great. Yeah, there's a few podcasters that I know them from 20, 25 years ago. And I don't speak to them on a regular basis at all, but I watch their career and I go, I know them, and they did it. They did something very similar.
On.
I cheer them on.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they make more money than us, then I don't cheer them on. Then I say,
then you're like, get out of here.
You owe me money. Yeah. Joanna Hausman is currently writing for Phineas and Ferb. I'm sorry, I'm old and my brain farts. The name of the other show that you have on Disney Plus.
Oh yeah, Hamster and Gretel.
Hamster and Gretel. Yes. Yeah. I don't know what I wanted to call it, like John and Apple or something. I don't know what I was thinking.
I mean,
Squirrel and Apple.
Maybe if it was renamed, they wouldn't have canceled it. So.
But it's still on Disney Plus, right?
It's still on Disney Plus. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay.
It lives on.
Go watch it. Put some. Do you get royalties from Hamster and Gretel if I watch it?
Fun fact: I don't.
Okay.
Unless my voice is in it. In which case, we gotta watch all of them.
Yes, okay. Let's go ahead and watch them all. We'll put it on the background.
Watch episode 13, minute 4 through 6, so that Joanna can get a check. And then fuck the rest of it. Who cares about those other people? Hamster
no,
Gretel. No, I'm kidding, of course. Bob, settle down. The Polynesian for a week, Park Hopper tickets. That's all I want, Bob.
Right.
So talk to Joanna.
Set it up.
Say, Joanna, you just say, Bob, I know a needy family. I know a needy podcaster who wants to come down to Disney.
I'm sure he'll listen. I'm going to email him. I'm going to slack him.
Slack him. I wonder if you...
I'm going to slack him.
I wonder, but here's the thing. You working for Disney is going to end up being the best thing in the world to your children. If you continue to work for Disney. Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. But I love that I'm going to be able to share with her soon my content, because a lot of my other comedy, I'm like, you gotta wait till you're ready. But those shows, hey, it's gone through a copious amounts of checking from a Disney legal.
Yes.
So to make sure you can see it.
Yeah. Safe. Congratulations too.
Yeah.
Thank you guys.
Yeah. Congratulations on the baby. Mm-hmm. Let's do this again in another couple of months.
Give us
the exclusive. Yes.
Oh yeah. I got something coming out and I think it's going to be very fun to talk about once
that
baby dies.
Excited.
Okay. If you're not here, to allow us to put that out a day before him, we are going to put you in the Nicki Jam category, which is, I don't know.
I know.
We'd love
Nicki. I'll text you, I promise.
Okay. Joanna Hausman, all of her links are in the show notes. Phineas and Ferb, available on Disney Plus. Thanks, Joanna. We appreciate
it. Thank you, Joanna.
Love you.
Thank you, guys.
Love you.
Let me do something Brian has never done. Be brief. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break. Text or call us 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Visit our website, tcbpodcast.com, for all the audio, video, and your free sticker. Then watch all the videos at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. And finally, share the show. It's the best gift you could give a few aging podcasters. See, Brian? That really wasn't that difficult, now was it? You're welcome.
All right, Joanna Hausman.
Yes.
I do love her.
She's just a ball of energy. Yeah, I just love talking to her.
Yeah, she's sweet. She's kind. She's funny. She's sharp.
Mm-hmm.
She's now a mama. So she's got mama brain. And there's nothing like a mama brain. Mama brains get smarter. Daddy brains get dumber. We can't handle all the minutiae.
Well, I was going to say, so there's so many things to remember.
Yes.
It just happens.
Thank God for mama brains. Thank God for mama brains. Joanna Hausman is a writer and I think voices some things on the new episodes of Phineas and Ferb. They are available on Disney Plus. I think they also run on Disney Channel. I think they do. I'll put it in the show notes. Mm. I want to double check, make sure that's correct. And then, of course, follow Joanna on her own social media for more commentary on Venezuela and Venezuelans. You'll love it.
That stuff is really funny.
Yes, it is. She took an idea that she didn't take my idea. She presented an idea that I also had, which was the differences between the two birthday songs.
Oh, yeah.
If you've ever heard a Venezuelan birthday song, you'll know it because you'll have to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner while they're doing the Venezuelan birthday song.
It's long.
It's 6 hours long. It's the craziest thing you've ever heard.
Like their celebration of birthdays.
I do. They get very excited.
Me too.
Very excited. Yeah, you do too.
Yep.
But I'm Irish. We just, you know, we bang ourselves with a pot. Stop growing old. We're born with original sin.
There's got to be an Irish jig for birthdays.
I'm sure there is. But since I'm not really Irish, since I just say that, but my family's been here for 100 years, you know.
Yeah.
All right. 212-433-3TCB, 212-433-3822. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. We do take them all right there. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break so that you can get informed about when Chrissy and I go live on Twitch, YouTube, maybe TikTok and Instagram. We'll see if we can figure it out. YouTube.com/The Commercial Break is the place where you can find all of the video the same day it airs here on the audio, including this episode and TCBpodcast.com for more information about the show and your free sticker. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for now.
I think so.
I'll tell you that I love you.
And I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.